$10 a month. Become a sustaining member of KBOO today. And you know that your support will come into KBOO all year round in little tiny, easy, bite-sized pieces. And you can give a substantial amount that way and never really hurt your own pocketbook. It's great. It's a wonderful, empowering act for your entire community. Help to change the world. Help make it a better place. Participate right now. 877-500-5266.
And please, join us in supporting citizen activism. Claim your place in this community where the free flow of information reigns supreme. 877-500-5266. Support KBOO right now with your love and your dollars. 877-500-5266. Please call now.
And thank you for all the people that have called. It's 5:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up is Bread and Roses. I do want to say that on Sunday, there will be a gathering of support and unity and a celebration of Portland's strides in supporting Standing Rock in their struggle to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. Join folks as they stand in solidarity, joining forces across cultural and economic divides to support the Standing Rock Tribe and all the unified Native American tribes from across the United States that are gathering at the Sacred Stone Camp. It's sponsored by, it's co-hosted by Portland 350, Rising Tide, and it's Sunday, September 25th at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Southwest Ankeny Street and Park Street in Portland. And we are about to air part one of an interview that our Pamela Santos did with local Portland luminary Lydia Yuknovich. As we air this interview, I hope you'll consider calling 877-500-5266. And again, thanks for everyone who called. Here we go.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio program in the country. Bread and Roses is a collective of women and non-binary radio activists who give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All this and we have fun. You can connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can access our podcasts and share feedback or show ideas. Like us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses, and we're also on Twitter, @breadrosesradio. We always welcome new collective members, and if you're interested in joining us as a producer, host, or engineer, no experience necessary, just go ahead and contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator. Email volunteer@kboo.org. I'm your host, Pamela Santos. Our guest that you're going to be hearing from later today is author Lydia Yuknovich, but it's not the kind of interview that you've been expecting usually when you have someone who's literary coming on. It's going to be a little bit more grounded in critical thinking and really just conversations about what is going on today. Before we get too far into this, I do want to mention we are on the next to last day of our fall membership drive. It is day 15 out of a 16-day drive. I'm excited to get to the end of it, to be honest. Please call 877-500-5266 to become a member or renew your membership. If you care about the kinds of shows that KABU puts on, like Bread and Roses, being the longest running feminist show in the country, and also holding space for women and non-binary radio activists, please, again, it's kbo.fm/give or call 877-500-5266. It's really easy to call and really easy to be able to hear from more and about what you can do, about what you can support do if you want to. If you actually claim to thank you gifts, like Lania's thank you last book, which was the small bags of children, which was, and we have paperback copies available if you want to just walk in and donate. If you want to just walk in and donate, we also have more. If you can believe it, more books available. You can just put some books today. We had an author 2 weeks ago. We had an author, it was Del Rey, with a it was self-care book, with any other care book, and women authors, local court women authors, and you can get locally of that. And you can get any donate with a minimum pledge. If you donate, definitely call pledge 877-500-5266. And one of our lovely phone volunteers would be one of our lovely phone volunteers. Whatever process of thank you gifts, whether they're books or tickets, or anything else that you were interested in using for today. Now back to our guest. Now I just want to really extend again so many expressions of gratitude, so many expressions of my path has crossed with my Lydia's Yusinovich. Lydia Yusinovich is the author of the Lydia Yusinovich memoir, The Chronology of Water, and the novel Dora of Watercase, and the novel we are offering The Small Backs of Children, like I said. She has an upcoming book that will be published, I believe, in April next year. And she's going to be talking not only about writing, she's going to be talking not only about writing any of the shows that I do, we're going to be talking that I do about, we're going to be talking issues of race, about gender, issues of race, and all of the intersections that matter, all of because we're multifaceted people, because we're multifaceted too far into it. I'm just going to tell you that we are into it. I'm starting to tell you that a little bit differently than we usually do.
The Black Woman Body. In American history and culture. As more in history and culture. That's your phone.
I'm sorry. Pamela again. I kept my phone on silent and it still came out with my alarm, and that is completely my bad. And let's actually get back to the interview. Thanks. So a lot of what made me first want to invite you to Bread and Roses. This is not your first time on Bread and Roses.
No, love Bread and Roses.
Thanks. I had this idea when I was talking to one of our former hosts, but still incredibly plugged in, Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
I had said, I need an episode. I want to cover something about desirability. Like, I want to just look at female writers that are talking about sexuality in a way that's away from the male gaze. And of course she brings you up first. She's like, you have to call.
Well, that's awesome that she did. But yeah, that's one of my main territories of peeve.
I mean, thank you, patriarchy. But I mean, besides patriarchy, I think there's just all of these other ways. I mean, even if you look at the way white supremacy polices Black women's bodies as well, like, you can never get away from something that is going to be controlling how we're looking at different women's bodies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in some ways, it breaks down into some key categories for me. And one of the key categories is, not that hard to understand, colonizations of the body.
Yes.
And one of the first colonizations of the body happens between parents and children. And another quick one that happens in our biological and sociological development is between men and women. And the use of a woman's body has been forever defined as an object that can serve the male culture. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't actually matter if we're talking about the first peoples or we're talking about right now. There's a conversation to be had, well, what use was the woman's body put to for the culture? Indigenous cultures have different answers to that question, thank oceans. White European cultures have answers based on a legacy we haven't outgrown yet, which is that women's bodies are still being used to serve a primarily male-dominated culture. What kind of wife are you going to be? What kind of mother are you going to be? How are you going to serve your society? Does your job promote a value system that supports males on top? And it's partly why we're having such a hard time culturally imagining this figure of Hillary as a possible leader, regardless of the pro or con of her as a politician. Mm-hmm. Part of the bigger problem is that we're having trouble imagining a woman leading us, mm-hmm. because, again, she's circumscribed by this narrative of to what use is the woman's body going to be put for the culture. And until the day when a woman's body can be her own story and her subjectivity and agency live in her own body, we haven't evolved very far.
I'm so glad you brought up, I'll worry about the FCC later. I'm glad you brought up Hillary, because even when I think about all of the different kinds of attacks at her, right? There's this sense of, well, we always knew that, like, you're never going to win either way, right? If you're sexualized or if you're not sexualized. And for her, I mean, she's even younger than Trump, right? And she can't win either way of...
You mean she's going to be attacked whether she's mm-hmm. anything, actually? She's going to
really,
be attacked
if she was
no matter
like,
what she does.
I mean, she's been attacked since the 90s for her hair.
Right.
Like, variations of this and
right.
that. And I was kind of leaning on the long shoulder length and then the cool shades on, remember? Like, the plane meme?
I do.
That was sweet.
I do remember that. And yet, you're hitting on one of the horrible things, which is, why are we talking about what she looks like at all? Mm-hmm. I don't mean you and I mean culturally.
Of course.
Her look and what she says in public, there's a history of what she said in public that goes back 30, 40 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's actually pretty heartbreaking to look at that history and read it and see our different reactions to this idea, what you're talking about. No matter what comes out of her mouth, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how right it is for anyone she's helping or how, you know, strong it is in terms of, do we need a strong nation, or how feminine it is, can she bake cookies? No matter what she says, it will be deemed the wrong thing to have said. And that's problematic.
Well, even just let me pull back a little bit and even just admit that, you know, she hasn't been without her share of mistakes.
No.
And really terrible, terrible decisions.
Yes.
That have affected communities of color or people that, when you look at, you know, like all of her decisions, I remember when I think she was still a senator in New York, she wasn't completely for marriage equality.
No, I think she's made a series of really dunderheaded mistakes, as I think pretty much everyone I've ever met has.
Mm-hmm. But that's the point, right? It's that I feel like that kind of view of her mistakes, I still feel is so genderized.
It is. It's exaggerated based on gendered mm-hmm. understandings. Yeah. It's entertaining as a male character. And he just rises as more and more entertaining and people want to see him and what he's going to do. Whereas if she opens her mouth or sweats
mm-hmm.
or faints...
Or she got sick, right?
That's what I mean.
All of those different little
not
things.
Not allowed.
We're going to take this time just to bring it back to the fall drive. And please call 877-500-5266. And let's hear more about what you can do to become a member or renew.
You can call that number, just like Pamela was saying, 877-500-5266, and join KABU. Become a brand new member of Community Radio. We've been having a wonderful news and public affairs day here at KABU. We have been sharing deep information behind the scenes of the pop culture politics that we hear in the mainstream news. We have been talking about matters that are really critical, really vital issues all day long here, be it from the environment to sexism, racism, oppression. We are talking about fascism. We have been talking about corruption in politics. We have been talking about lying in politics. We have been talking about so many really deep issues today. And we know that that's why you join us with your ears, right? That's why you tune into KABU, because you want to live an informed life. You want to get your information and news uncut and unfiltered by corporate interests and by the status quo. You need independent radio. You need fiercely independent community organized media. And that is KABU. My friends, right now, step up to your phone and dial 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. I'm Ani and I'm here with Mason this evening. Hey, Mason.
Hi, Ani.
I'm so glad you're able to join us. Why should people call?
People should call because KABU is a great community radio that I am really proud to be a part of. Just today, I was out at a Black Lives Matter protest, and I was really happy to be able to come back here, rest my feet, and help pitch for KABU.
Because, you know, KABU makes a difference. We provide that platform, that microphone, the amplification of so many voices in our communities so that we can share our stories, share our experiences, share our analysis, and, again, inform each other and inspire each other to take right action. 877-500-5266. You can become a member of KABU in a sustaining monthly kind of way. Anything from $5 a month on up, you can do that all at once, or you can put it in the little bite-sized chunks every month throughout the year, adding up to a really substantive amount. I know I myself, I give $20 a month because KABU is vitally important to our communities, because we do inspire social change, because I've seen results happen because of KABU broadcasts. I've seen it over the years. And that is so very important to me that I actually give more than an hour's wage every month. And I have to admit, I was sort of inspired to go over the top because I really wanted a hoodie, because the KABU hoodie is ultimately super cool. It's very comfortable. I tend to be cold all the time. And so I'm really thankful for comfy, warm, fleecy hoodies. And this one has the awesome radical KABU logo, sort of identifying us immediately. It's like, you're a KABU listener too. We can spark deep conversations and listen to good music together. 877-500-5266. The whole point of that story is I could never come up with $240 at once. I could never do that, but I can do $20 a month. Can you? 877-500-5266.
And if you wanted to do just $10 a month, you can also get a new awesome KABU shirt, which if you want to just do the bite-sized chunks, it's just $10 a month, about an hour of your wages each month. There's a lot of easy ways. You can call right now, or you can go online. You can call 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm.
And when you're online, you can see a picture of this super cool t-shirt, which I can't even describe. It's just super cool. It's by Anna Vo. It's an alien picking up the KABU signal through the galaxies, through the implementation of some high-tech ear horn and tuning fork. It's a really cool design. 877-500-5266, online kboo.fm. You know that you can see a picture of this shirt when you contribute online, kboo.fm. Also, as a special thank you gift, anyone who donates online on our website, kboo.fm, at any level during the fall membership drive, will receive a free music download of the song The Love by hip-hop artist Jason Chu from the new album Arrivals, produced by Portland's own Joe Kai. And again, that can be yours. Go ahead and give us a call, 877-500-5266, or for the free download, you can get us online, kboo.fm. However it is that you can do it, we ask that you do it right now. We are looking to raise $350 this evening in support for Bread and Roses, the longest-running feminist program on community radio anywhere, and that's a legacy to be proud of. Be a part of this wonderful revolutionary legacy. Kick down to KABU this evening, 877-500-5266. Online, kboo.fm. Let us know you're there. Let us know you care. Let us know you are a new member of KABU or a renewing member of KABU right now. Call and introduce yourself to the KABU community, 877-500-5266.
And now we're going to go back to Pamela Santos' interview with Lydia Yaknevich.
Thanks. And now we're back to Bread and Roses interviewing Lydia Yaknevich. This is Pamela Santos. Oh, when I invited you on here, I just go, yeah, could we talk about books? Or could we do that? But I was really interested in this other presence I feel like you have online of, it's the nature of what the world is like now that you can't be silent. So whatever your occupation, whatever your various identities, whatever your, it's so hard to be silent when there's so much going on right now. And so I definitely wanted to bring that in here, that yes, you are known as a writer and an author, but I feel like a lot of the different, let's say the things that are not in novels right now that you've been writing, I feel like it's definitely relevant. And I just wanted to ask you about what do you think about having to say all this stuff now about not being silent?
It's such a tricky time, mm-hmm. because we live in a time where this thing, social media, exists. And it's a new social space for us. And we're in a really infantile stage because it's sort of new. Mm-hmm. And so on the one hand, social media is like a giant cesspool of just our loose ids, where anyone mm-hmm. says whatever the hell they want and acts however they want and does whatever they want. And so that's sort of terrible. And we do a lot of bashing and a lot of critiquing each other and a lot of things you wouldn't say if you were at dinner with someone. And so that's sort of terrible, right? So it's a cesspool. On the other hand, it is absolutely a new space where critical mass has formed more than once in ways we can point to, specifically around issues for people of color, where a whole bunch of people were suddenly witnesses, and a whole bunch of people suddenly had a mode of production, their phones, their computers, other recording devices, where we could witness injustice as a story right in front of our faces and record it and share it instantly. And so stories and images that were previously buried culturally are everywhere, omnipresent, from just regular people, because it's no longer only the realm of, say, the news organization to tell the story of what's happening in culture. And even though that has some complexities to it, it is a good thing. It is a good thing because it's opened up a space for us to see who we really are right now and what we've done to each other, and ask the question, is this really how we want to live with one another and treat one another? So in that sense, it's less of a cesspool and more of a possibility space, a space where stories previously oppressed, repressed, and images and bodies and stories can come to life with thousands of voices that can't be shut up. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
It's so, I think, I don't want to say refreshing. I think it's been incredibly, I want to say a little
it's
bit of comfort.
Hard to choose the
it's
words.
It's so hard because I want to say that's comforting and I want to say that makes me feel good, but I'm such a
it's complex.
Realist. I'm a realist about some of these things, and it makes me feel good that you as a writer, but especially in just putting it out there for privilege's sake, like that you as a white woman writing and having this space that you have ownership of, and that's and having an audience, let's say, that you've chosen to center it on these issues and to not turn a blind eye to that. And yeah, what I'm still feeling so bad, you know, like it's comforting. And then it's like, things fixed? You know,
no, of course they're not. And also I know what you mean. Comforting isn't quite the right word, because it kind of feels like being poked in the eye. You know what I mean? It's not actually comforting. It's more like a season of agitation where we have yet another historical chance to change or to see things differently. And we may blow it. We may blow it as a culture again. But some change will and already is taking place. And it's really hard not to despair. It's really hard not to say, yeah, but we need to stop shooting innocent black men and women. Mm-hmm. Needs to stop yesterday. And it's depressing as hell that it can't stop instantly. But that isn't a reason to stop witnessing, telling stories, sharing, creating critical mass, even though it's not comforting. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not comforting. Feels like crap still. and then another piece of this discussion is white people trying to bridge and talk to people of color and work together. It's not comfortable. It's a distinctly uncomfortable time. And yet I see us trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncomfortable. I'm willing to hang out in the uncomfortable place, and I'm willing for us to make a whole bunch of mistakes trying to talk together and work together if it's a portal, you know. But you're right. Comfortable isn't the right word.
Because it's, in a way, for me, I don't feel like the goal should be our comfort.
No.
It should be our safety. It should be our peace.
Agreed.
So many things, right?
I'm so glad you said that. I mean, I'm endlessly annoyed with this sort of distinctly white American desire to be comfortable, because our comfort zone being established has really been a form of complacency.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at the results of our own actions and inactions right now. This didn't come at us from the outside, from some other place, and inflicted America with a problem. We made it. And part of the problem is the story of comfort we've been reaching for has bred a complacency whereby half the people in our country are dying.
So I'm definitely going to just ask the question, have you had any, whether it's like actually definitive criticism or just kind of backhanded kind of remarks of why would you be talking about this issue now? You know, come on.
Sort of my whole life. I mean, when I get kicked out of CCD, which is a form of Catholic school for people who don't know, it was because I wouldn't shut up with my questions. And so in a way, I feel the same way I've always felt. I won't shut up with my questions. But a thing that's been a bummer lately is just how thick some of the defensiveness is in amongst white people. Just bringing up topics like whiteness, you know, or deigning to say, might we want to examine the history of that construct and the present tense in that construct, and is there anything perchance we might want to change or you know, revise or have a leg wrestling match about or something. Even bringing the topic up inspires this agitation among people. It's not that I didn't know it was there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't entirely 100% aware of the depth of fear and defensiveness amongst liberals. And even that, it's not that I didn't know it was there. I'm going through an adjustment period in terms of my assumptions. Mm-hmm. And I believe we have a long, hard road ahead in terms of examining who we are right now and who we want to be.
We're going to take a break again to just come back to the fall drive. Call 877-500-5266. And let's talk about all the ways that being a KBOO member brings us back to the world and connects us with the world, and all the ways that we are covering the things that we just talked about with Lydia Yuknovich.
And you are listening to that conversation with Pamela Santos and Lydia Yuknovich on KBOO, your community radio station, home of Bread and Roses. Please do call in with your support right now at 877-500-5266. I'm Ani. I'm here with Mason this evening, and we are here raising support and membership for KBOO. We would love to invite you into the community. You know you're already there with your ears, with your heart, with your brain. Now be there with your pocketbook as well, as this is the time to support what you believe in, to back those values with a little of your hard-earned money. Think about sustaining us in little bite-sized chunks. $10 a month or $15 a month is a great way to do it. We'd love to give you a thank you gift when you call 877-500-5266, like a copy of The Small Backs of Children, a novel by Lydia Yuknovich. I've heard great things, actually, about this novel. I've heard her interviewed on KBOO's Between the Covers before, and this is a fascinating book. It's, it's fantastic. $5 a month, and we would love to thank you with this book. At any contribution, $60 or more, you could get a copy. 877-500-5266.
Or you can go to kboo.fm. And I personally have gotten involved in KBOO because of Bread and Roses. Hopefully soon I'll be able to actually do stuff on it. And that's the main reason why I do KBOO stuff, but I also stuck around because of the great ethos that KBOO holds and the great way that it contributes to the community, the great community that exists just inside of KBOO that you can be a part of very easily. There's a lot of great volunteer trainings that go on that I still need to get done.
Well, I have to say, Mason, it's exciting to be with you this evening because, in fact, you've been involved with KBOO for about, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, and that is the power of community radio. We invite community members in to make radio happen. We provide free training for community members. All we ask is that they stick around and use it in service of KBOO and the community. And that is an opportunity actually not afforded to very many people all across the country. Many community stations, even community stations, charge for trainings, and sometimes that makes it inaccessible to the people that those stations should be serving. So we're so proud of our free training programs, and we ask you to support it so you can support the next generation of media activists here in Portland at KBOO. 877-500-5266. You're also hearing in this conversation about ally work, about working together against racism, working to end oppressions, and that is super important. I want to let you know we could also, if you are able to contribute at $75 or more, and again, you can break that down monthly for $6.25 a month or $75, however you'd like to pay that. We would love to give you a copy of White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divide. This is a book by Carol Anderson, and it carefully links various historical flashpoints about when social progress is made in African-American communities for African-Americans, how it's countered deliberately and cleverly by crafted opposition and the backlash that happens, and it's that polarization. So please avail yourself of this If that sounds like the book you want, great. Call on in. Your $75 contribution will get you a copy of this book. Your $60 contribution could get you a copy of The Small Backs of Children, the novel by Lydia Yuknovich. Whatever you choose as a thank you gift, you know the main thing you're doing, you are empowering your community and community activists everywhere when you call 877-500-5266.
And some other great gifts that you can get back from KBOO include the KBOO sweatshirt for $20 a month, or a total of $240 for a yearly contribution. We also have a great new t-shirt that you can do just for $10 a month. You can break that down. You can just do the monthly payments. You can do everything at once. And the new t-shirt, it looks pretty awesome. I'm looking at just the paper of it right now, and it looks kind of like, I think it would be an alien with, like, to me, it looks like a bunch of eyes, but it could be anything.
I think it's, yeah, multi-eyed alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has, looks kind of like a transmitter on its head to orbit some transmission out into space. Either way, you can look at it any way you want, really. If you do $10 a month, you can have it yourself. Call 877-500-5266.
Hey, how you doing? It's for $10.
Thanks. And we're back to the interview with Lydia Yuknovich. This is Pamela Santos. I feel like if I was the listener right now, just like, please tell me about social media messed upness and how things can go terribly wrong for people. That's like, why would you do that? You know, no, I don't want to hear about this. No.
Well, for one thing, and I was trying to say this when I was talking about getting kicked out of CCD, I'm just not the person who's going to be posting the kitten pictures. I'm not. I love them. I like to look at them. They crack me up. They're cute. They're adorable. I'm just not that person. I am, by nature, apparently more of an agitator person, but that's also a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And so not shutting up and annoying people or asking a question that makes everybody's panties get in a wad doesn't seem like a negative thing to me. It doesn't seem like, oh, why would you do that? It seems vital.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like one of many different modes that we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my contribution to the discussion of what's going on right now in life, in our lives, is teeny. It's almost meaningless. In fact, it is kind of meaningless. It's teeny. It's nothingness. But silence is something I'm not willing to live with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you know that you're an agitator, you're not even comfortable with comfort anyway.
No, I mean, you have an alienated relationship to comfort in the first place. But I've always been suspicious of particularly capitalist comfort, and that's a whole nother story that gets me in big trouble, too.
I feel like I'm making the most obvious observation right now, but I'll try to keep it general. There's definitely... even though you could talk about the same things that women of color or other Black women writers are bringing up on, I don't know, the verbal playground called Twitter or Facebook, what have you, I think you've gotten different responses, but they're still, I feel like, in the same ocean a little bit. I remember a writer, I think they're known by that their story or book on the Black Lives Matter movement is being turned into a movie. And they had this really great thread talking about the importance of people of color telling their own stories, and that all of this centering around it. I'm not giving it its due absolutely at all.
But speaking generally.
Of course.
Yeah.
That, you know, of course they got a lot of vitriol over that. But I mean, it's having to explain over and like, why do I have to explain to you why this is important? You know, that you can't speak for me or do this, like that it's really hard. And in not even just hard, but in some ways incredibly hurtful for white writers to write these Black characters or stories without considering the implications of that privilege. And you sort of did that in like one of your posts. Just, I mean, I think you even did it in a very like
trying to, I mean, if it's agitating, that's like a pokey, like kind of poke
it
here.
It wasn't that intense.
No.
But
not
the
at
responses
all.
Were.
It was like, how dare you not allow me this privilege of writing whatever race that I want, is what I took from it.
I think the sentence I actually wrote was, and we can use this or not, but I think the sentence I actually wrote was something like, I'm increasingly uncomfortable with white writers claiming they're free to write about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Define free, quote unquote.
It was so open-ended.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what that led to mm-hmm. was, I think the ones that were hardest for me, even though I hung in there on the world's most hellish longest thread, was the idea that I'm calling for censorship because I said that. I was not. Mm-hmm. The idea that I was claiming white writers should only write about white people. I did not say that. And that the thing that was hardest of all for me is that people of color were on the thread
mm-hmm.
and white speakers, and I know they were white because I know who they are, were arguing with them and shutting them down after I had specifically and numerous times asked for a radicalized form of listening. And so as a sociological experiment, it was a real petri dish moment, you know? It was illuminating to me, even though it was difficult to read and look at all the responses, some of them more than others. Maybe because I've been a teacher for almost 30 years, I tend to step back and look at things sociologically rather than try to bash someone or mm-hmm. decide that person is evil or any of those things. It was very illuminating, even if difficult. But it taught me a great deal about some of the labor white people and white allies have in front of them. Some of the labor we have in front of us has a lot to do with who we say and think we are and what we feel free to do.
Hard for you, you were talking about being a teacher, and in other, you also have these other writing workshops, you have these other series that people can take different courses in different spaces. How do you moderate those discussions if they come up?
Well, I am not afraid of flare-ups mm-hmm. where people blurt out wrong things or bad things or silly things. And again, I'm pretty sure it's from the length of time I've been in teaching spaces. I think flare-ups can go one of two ways, or possibly more ways, but one way they can go is to bring shame into the room and to bring opportunities for bashing other people into the room. And to me, that is a bad thing. But another way they can go is for the blurt out or the flare up to become a portal moment. And we can help each other through difficult, uncomfortable portal moments, even when somebody blurts out the stupid or bad thing. Mm-hmm. But we have to choose it. And not everybody's willing to choose it.
So I hate putting, I'm definitely not doing it in this particular instance, this question. Not having to be high white spokesperson, this is the badge, this is this. But I think in your perhaps ways of navigating this over how much time, right, of experience, I think there's a lot of really well-meaning white people that could be listening right now that don't even know, like just think, well, I wouldn't even begin to know what to say in the moment, if I'm what I think a lot of educators in whatever space they are, they don't know what to say to moderate that for the safety of their students of color, let's say. But they don't want to shut students down, and they don't know, you know? And I think sometimes what happens is because they don't know, they'd rather not even try.
Yes, I think that happens a lot. I think interruptive factors to that form of blindness include deprivileging the white leaders in the room and allowing people of color to have the central speaking space, for example. I think coaching people how to listen interrupts that kind of default circumstances you're talking about. I think white educators continually and nonstop their whole lives re-educating themselves about methods and strategies is a force of interruption for the default. But I'll say it again, we're in a difficult time where we're blowing it all over the place. And we're blowing it together and finding ways to muddle through it together, or we're going to blow it and continue to polarize. And I'm of the opinion that while the polarizations are sometimes necessary to get good work done, some of the work, some of the labor has to sort of be to hold hands with the person you want to poke in the eye and step over or through for a second. I mean, I'm a firm believer in this idea of calling out, but then staying present with the person or people who've blown it. And I don't think that's the job of people of color necessarily, but I think allies could do that. Allies could do that labor, that work.
I've definitely asked people in my, you know, in my way, however I might choose for a particular situation, just say, I really don't. I mean, I'd like to handle things directly a lot of times, but it's like, I can't, not again. Like,
yeah,
I can't.
Why should you? That's absurd. But this is another place where talking the ally community into agreeing to even this simple thing you just said. You know, maybe that's our labor. Maybe that's the allies' labor. There's still tension there. There's still, you know, why that's still a question, I have no idea. But some of us have open eyes about it.
And we're going to take a break again. This is the Fall Drive show for Bread and Roses. I'm Pamela Santos. I was talking with Lydia Yuknovich, if you're just tuning in. And I just have a little bit left over, but please let us get back to the drive for a little bit. Call 877-500-5266. Let's take a little bit of time to talk about how you can be a member and what you can do to claim Lydia Yuknovich's paperbacks that she generously donated here. The Small Backs of Children is her latest paperback.
And you can get your copy by calling 877-500-5266 and saying yes to community radio, that you want to become one of our financial supporters, a member of independent media. That is, in fact, how we remain independent. It is with your help. Please call right now for your $5 a month contribution or $60 total in a year. We would love to get you a copy of The Small Backs of Children. It's a novel by Lydia Yuknovich. You're hearing this very important and interesting conversation between Lydia Yuknovich and Bread and Roses host Pamela Santos this evening here on Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses, one of the longest running, in fact, I believe the longest running, feminist program in community radio. It's been going since the early 70s here on KABU, and you can be a part of this radical legacy right now. 877-500-5266.
And KABU has about 60,000 people who listen to this in the Portland metro area every week. Only around 6,000 people are currently members, though, and you can change that right now for yourself. KABU has the transmitter and translator tower rental of $56,000 a year, among many other costs that come into KABU. And this is community radio. It's funded by people who want to help. It's funded by people who are calling or going onto the website right now during our fall membership drive, which tomorrow is the last day, right?
Absolutely. We will be ending tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And we are hoping to end with $120,000. And we need to hear from you and make up some ground now. We have been doing really well today. Today, yesterday, people have been coming through, but you know, we've been a little behind this whole drive, and it's really time to make up that ground. So please do call now, 877-500-5266. I think we have about 30, about $30,000 remaining. Please do call us and close that gap. 877-500-5266. We have $350 as a goal for Bread and Roses. And right now, we would love your call to fill in that $350 that we ask for this hour. You know, it takes a little more than $80 an hour to run the radio station, right? Mason was just talking about the $56,000 bill for our transmitter every year. $17,000 go for equipment rental, or not rental, but repair, equipment repair and replacement. It takes some money to run the people's radio station using the people's airwaves, and we need the people's money, in fact, to do it. That's how we remain independent and strong. We do it together. 877-500-5266. I want to thank Jim. I want to thank Jim for giving an additional gift this evening. You know, he says, I sound a little serious. I love Jim. Thank you, Jim. He is a longtime KABU volunteer, and it's great. It's great to hear from our old friends. And if you yourself are a KABU member, please think about this time to give a little additional gift. It is so meaningful to have your participation this evening here on Bread and Roses. Thank you so much, Jim, for calling in with that. And now let's hear from you. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. Again, The Small Backs of Children, this novel, it can be yours with your $60 contribution. $60 to KABU, you can do it $5 a month. You can put it on your credit card. You can have it coming $5 a month out of your bank account or your debit card. However you can connect right now. 877-500-5266. We also have this package of four books. If you were listening to Bread and Roses 2 weeks ago, you heard a great interview with Della Ray, and we have this four book set, The Little Book of Self-Care by Della Ray, also Lifestyles Unlubricated, it's a zine, and yeah, you know what that's about, Wild by Cheryl Strayed, and All the Things We Never Knew by Sheila Hamilton. You can get all four of those books with your $90 contribution here at KABU Community Radio. That works out to be $7.50 a month. And $7.50 a month, that's less than minimum wage, right? We can pull that together. Go ahead, call right now. Do you got $7.50 in your pocket? Because you can take a leap of faith. Go ahead, pledge that to KABU, and know that you'll have $7.50 in your pocket next month for your community too. It's an important and powerful act. Join KABU. 877-500-5266.
And you have some other options for a gift. If you did $20 a month, you could get the awesome KABU hoodie. You can also do $10 a month to get the new KABU shirt. You have many choices here. As Ani just mentioned, you can do the shirt, you can do the hoodie, you can do the books, anything you want. If you also go to kboo.fm, you get a download of The Love by hip-hop artist Jason Chu from the new album Arrivals, which was produced by Portland's own Joe Key. If you go to kboo.fm, or you can call right now to talk to someone on the phone and get your monthly membership set up at 877-500-5266.
And we're back. Thanks for hanging in there. And we're in the final stretch of the interview that I did with Lydia Yuknovich. I can't even look to the future because in a way, there's all these things, these factors now that is actually calling into question what can be our future anyway.
Right.
But I do want to figure out in talking about the future, how are you thinking that your new book, Book of Joan, that will be coming out, how do you think that is going to lead to newer discussions about whether it's about women or women's bodies? But I mean, this is taking this let me pull back. I'm trying to not think of other people's words right now. You're imagining what Joan of Arc's life was, and this is, you know, a story set firmly in the past, and yet we're bringing it here to the present with your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how is that, how are you going to, well, I don't even want to say, how are you going to do something? I mean, what even made you want to look to the past for that?
I think for a lot of women and a lot of Catholics, but not just Catholics, Joan is a profoundly important story. A lot of adolescent girls fall in love with Joan of Arc without realizing that's what they're doing because they come across her story and they're like, what? Where have you been hiding this?
It's like you're in my bedroom in seventh grade.
Exactly.
When I had to pick, like, eeny, meeny, miny, which saint do I take their name for confirmation? And the obvious choice.
Clearly.
Well, first of all, there were all these women that were just, not just dying, but dying horribly. And I felt like
that's a thing.
That's the thing up to now, but that's like, that's in the Book of Saints. It's like, which one do I want to take inspiration from? And of course, just speaking for myself, it was just like, you know what? She really, really died painfully and terribly, but she brought people down with her, men. But also that, before I get accused of misandry, but she brought, you know, war into her own life, or war was brought into her life. But she didn't succumb to it in the ways that other people did. And what's interesting about this is that she's a saint. She's revered by the church.
Yeah, that's especially tricky since her version of the Godhead and her story of God was very different than the story emerging at the time about God that would put in place a theological power system that's still with us. So it's very unusual to me that she became reabsorbed as a saintly figure when she was actually in tension with everything about them at the time. That's why they burned her up. So that's tricky, isn't it? I think for me, the Christ body is an actual place where creation and destruction come together to form an entire belief system. And to make the belief system, they had to take creation away from the woman's body and reroute it through Immaculate Conception. Which, if you think about it, why did that work? Anyway.
Yep.
So the Christ body is a sort of iconic symbolic body where creation and destruction meet and a whole belief system is born. And I think the burning Joan of Arc body, so not the beautiful androgynous nailed to a cross, extremely cool looking Christ.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, exactly. But the burning woman's body, it's the only body I can think of that has equal weight to the Christ body. And in her body, creation and destruction also met and could have formed a belief system, but did not. A patriarchal belief system was born. And so I got obsessed with the question, what if? What if belief systems could come out of other bodies? So when I dislocated her from her historical moment and relocated her in a not too distant future, I'll put it that way, I was shooting for the story of a body carrying creation and destruction in it at every step. So there's a love story and a war story.
As always, I'm so grateful to share this space with you right now, whatever space it could be.
It's completely my pleasure to talk to you.
This was wonderful. Of course, anytime. Would love to have you back on KBOO and Bread and Roses.
Thank you so much for having me, Pam.
So that's our show. This is Pamela Santos with Bread and Roses. Please tune in every Friday at 6 o'clock. We have one more day to our fall drive. I'm so excited to get even closer to our goal. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are going out on a Bomba Estéreo. Soy yo.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Larahio Bistro, located at 2823 Southwest 1st Avenue, a family-owned eatery serving home-cooked food just outside downtown Portland. Lunch was provided by Fatou's Kitchen, a restaurant located on 3601 Northeast MLK, serving Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Latin, African food, and also soul food. Dinner was provided by Namaste Indian Cuisine, whose locally owned and operated restaurants, including the location at 1403 Northeast Widler Street, offers a buffet menu with vegetarian and gluten-free options from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. every day. Becoming a member is easy when you call 877-500-5266 today to support KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Underground Graduate School. Classes that begin in October include How to Ally with Portland's Urban Native Americans and Cascadia Earthquakes, Live With It. Portland Underground Graduate School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, future classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you. It is at night. It is probably close to midnight in the city of Charlotte, and we've been getting a number of conflicting reports. Earlier this evening, we had heard that there was a protester who was killed during the demonstrations in Charlotte. And almost immediately, we saw reports from the city of Charlotte and the police, followed very quickly by the CNN type of stations, claiming that it was another protester. But then we started looking into it a little bit deeper. We started to hear from people that we actually work with, a number of pastors who have been on the scene in various places, including Charlotte, who were telling another story. And we wanted to find out what's happening because the discrepancies are now becoming very glaring. And joining us on the phone line is Linda Flynn. Linda, you're out in Charlotte. And first of all, welcome to Hard Knock Radio. Welcome to Pacifica. What has been going on